Welcome, welcome, welcome to this week's From the Roots Up. My name is Sean Frame, and I'm your host, and this is where we take on those really complicated issues, but do it in a way that is understandable and gives us a place where we can jump in and take action. We've had a lot of good episodes on the show in the past, but this is one we haven't really touched on yet, and I think it's one that we have to take on because it's all around us, as so many of these issues are. And that is the issue of hunger and food insecurity. And I know, food insecurity sounds like one of those terms that's like very clinical and governmental and bureaucratic. But I don't think the word hunger really captures what we're talking about when we talk about people not having access to the food they need. And that's really what food insecurity is. It's a broader term because, you know, we've all at one point in our life, or maybe even every day, find ourselves hungry. But for those of us who can and get food when we need it and always know where our next meal is coming from, being hungry is a temporary situation that we just solve by eating. But for those who don't have the security of knowing where their next meal is coming from, food insecurity is a term that actually captures better what's really going on. And so the definition really is comes from the USDA, actually, the United States Department of Agriculture, which is kind of why it probably sounds a little bureaucratic. But nonetheless, it's food insecurity is when people don't have enough to eat and don't know where their next meal will come from. It's a big problem in the United States, where 47 million people, including 14 million children, experience food insecurity annually. And that's really what we're talking about today. You know, how do people who are food insecure get the food they need? It's not a simple straight line of just going to the grocery store and telling them you don't have money and they'll put it on a tab for you and maybe you'll settle up at some point down the road. Really, there's a patchwork of organizations that provide different aspects of making sure that those who are food insecure have access. And right here in the foothills where K-High is located, you know, we have over 50,000 individuals in Placer, El Dorado, and Nevada counties who are food insecure. So when I think many think like, well, if you go to a rural area where there are farms and orchards, and dairies and ranches that, you know, maybe food insecurity would be less of an issue. And that's just not true. Food insecurity is one of those things that's almost invisible. You often won't know if you meet somebody who's food insecure. They're not going to probably tell you that. So it's one of those issues that is all around us and yet hidden. And also for those who do experience food insecurity, it's one of those things where it's difficult for somebody to wrap their head around going and asking for food that they need and also trying to figure out where to go and get it and how to come up with something that is more secure, where we will know where our next meal is coming from. And I've decided that that's what this episode should be about and why we're here today. It's to help the people who are food insecure and for those of us who aren't, to find a way for us to get involved and make sure that people in our community are food secure. From the Roots Up is community radio that is sponsored by community businesses. If you'd like to join the growing list of folks who make this show possible, reach out to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at khi.com. We all know that money spent on politicians is nothing more than a bribe. Citizens United called it free speech, but we know better. But what if we could balance the scale a few bucks at a time? That's what we're doing at the Six Pack, taking small donations and adding them up to make things more fair. Crack open some change. Support the Six Pack. Paid for by the Six Pack, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. www.thesixpack.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. This episode of From the Roots Up is brought to you by The Torch Club, Sacramento's premier live music venue every Wednesday to Sunday. Check them out at 904 15th Street in Sacramento or online at torchclub.net. We're We're back on From the Roots Up. We're talking about food insecurity today. And I think, you know, I get this question on many of these issues. Well, you know, why should I care? Why should we do anything about this? I mean, you know, it's weird. We have this weird thing, and I don't know if it's, you know, necessarily just an American thing, but there is this strange notion of, and we hear people use the term, well, you know, we want people to be hungry for this, be hungry for change, be hungry for making their own life better. And it implies that being hungry is a motivator, and that hungry people work hard to change their situation. But the actual reality is, in some cases, it's just simply not possible. We have an issue with wages, for example, not keeping up with the cost of living. And particularly when food costs go up, the amount of calories available to people on a fixed income or who are earning a wage that is less than a living wage necessarily goes down. You know, in the budget, you have, you know, food and shelter, right? Those are your sort of foundational costs. And if one goes up and your wage does not go up and the amount of money you have coming in does not go up in the same way, then you're going to find yourself short. And it's often food where people sacrifice. So, you know, the reality is hunger might be a motivator if it were possible for people to earn more at their job, but there are only so many hours in a day somebody can work. And if the wage isn't high enough to pay for all the essentials, something's got to give. So hunger may or may not be a motivator, but, you know, in the world we live in, it's very difficult for people to, you know, expand the amount of income they have in a way that covers the rapidly growing cost of food. So food insecurity, you know, here's the thing we got to really think about. Food insecurity actually makes it near impossible for children to learn. Hungry children, it's been studied over and over again, underperform in school because, well, obviously, I mean, think about when you're hungry and how you perform. There's a term for that. I think a lot of people just sort of throw out there casually, like hangry. And true, you know, you're off when you're hungry. Your ability to regulate your emotions actually goes down. Your ability to think through complex problems goes down. You become singularly focused on that hunger and how to solve it. And so, you know, we know that children who come to school hungry and don't get enough calories throughout the day don't do as well as their well-fed friends sitting next to them in the classroom. Food insecurity diminishes people's ability to work and to seek work. For the same reasons, right? Like when you're at work, if you're hungry, you're not thinking as clearly as you could. You don't have the energy to do a physical job if that's what you have. It just makes it less possible. You are less productive. And if you're seeking work, again, being hungry just doesn't help. It doesn't help you have the energy to go out and find places of employment, prepare your resume, shop for the clothes you'll need for the interview, show up and do a good job at the interview. So, you know, food insecurity actually makes it more impossible to fix the situation you might find yourself in if you are food insecure. And here's another thing. If you know, it's first of all, I just think, I mean, and this is going to, I say these things all the time, but I mean, I think it's true. I think there is a morality issue here. I think it is immoral that people should be starving in a land of plenty. Right. And it's not even just a land of plenty. It's a land of more than enough. You know, we have more than enough to feed all the people here. So, you know, it's immoral, in my opinion, to just let people go hungry when they could certainly be fed without causing harm to anybody else. And finally, I'll just say this. If that's not enough for you, if these arguments aren't enough, there is a real, other cost that comes with food insecurity. For the people who experience it, particularly children, and for the communities where people are malnourished. Every dollar we spend making sure people have access to food and food security is returned 150%. I'm going to say that again. Every dollar we spend, we get more than $1.50 back in terms of increased productivity, in terms of businesses doing better and thriving, in terms of farms and farmers and food producers of other kinds doing well in our communities. And of course, in children who thrive. So if the moral argument isn't enough for you, just recognize that every dollar we spend is $1.50 that comes back to us. And we can scale that until the day that there are no more people with food insecurity. So think about that for a second, and we'll be back on From the Roots Up.
From the Roots Up is brought to you by The Six Pack. Crack open some change and support the candidates and causes we need in these times. Paid for by The Six Pack, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. www.thesixpack.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. If you love live music and want to be up close and personal with the band, there's only one place to go, The Torch Club. This hotspot is the place to be with two shows a day, Wednesday to Sunday. Check out the upcoming shows at torchclub.net or just drop by 904 15th Street in Sacramento. The Torch Club. There's always something happening.
So today on From the Roots Up, we're talking about food insecurity, formerly called hunger, but I really do think food insecurity is the right term for it. And, it's such an important issue, and it's not something that, I am an expert in, but believe me, we have some great people here in the community who know intricately every last inch of this issue and can talk about it from a local point of view and a broader point of view. So today on our show, I've got four people who are real experts in our area. I've got Lori Rinker, the regional philanthropy manager from Feeding the Foothills, Ryan Fruchtenick, who's the program manager of Placer County Health and Human Services and CalFresh, Tammy Riedel, president and chair of the Gold Country Food Hub, and Andy Hayes, president of Auburn Interfaith Food Closet. And we're going to have a really good, rollicking discussion from a variety of angles about food and really help, I hope, help you understand the sort of matrix of people who attack food insecurity in our community. I think this is something that if you looked in your community, if you don't happen to live in Placer County area or the Sierra Foothills, you will think to yourself, gee, do I have this in my area? And the answer is yes, you more than likely do. With no further ado, let's get to the roundtable on food insecurity.
Welcome back to From the Roots Up. I've got some amazing guests today. Our topic is food insecurity and hunger this week. And I've decided to go totally local and get people from our own community who are really active in this space trying to do something about it. I've got Tammy from the Gold Country Food Hub. And that's Tammy Riedel. And I've got Lori Rinker from Feeding the Foothills, which is part of Feeding America. I have Andy Hayes, and he's from the Auburn Interfaith Food Closet. And I've got Ryan Fruchtenick from Placer County Health and Human Services, CalFresh, a number of other things. Welcome, all of you, and thank you for being on the From the Roots Up.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
Well, I don't know where to start except to say probably I will start with you, Lori, to talk a little bit about what Feeding the Foothills does in our community. And then just give us a sort of good broad overview and maybe a little bit about how you work with the other folks here in our show today.
Great, Sean. Well, thanks for having us. First of all, part of Feeding America means we're one of 200 food banks nationwide, and we're assigned territories. Our territories are Nevada County, Placer County, and El Dorado County. So what we do is we have relationships because of Feeding America with all kinds of retailers and national partners. So what happens is that we get our food from these retailers, we get them from Feeding America, we get them from places like Tammy's Hub, which are farmers, local farmers, organic local farmers. Thank you, Tammy. I so appreciate that. We get them from manufacturers that we have relationships with. And aside from people like Tammy, we also have other farmers that we get food from. So we have a 77,000 square foot warehouse in Roseville. So in the front, all these trucks are delivering all these food from the retailers, from the farmers, et cetera. And then we have a dozen forklifts running all over the place, bringing the food in, storing it, and it goes to emergency services. A lot of it goes right out to the back bays where people are there picking it up. We have 70 different partners, and Andy is one of them. So we give food to Andy, and he and his masterful interfaith group distribute it out to the county where he is. So we've got 80 of those folks all over the county, and really count on them. They are very important to us because they are grassroots. They are in touch with the people. We also have Pantries to Go, where we actually have volunteers. We have two types of volunteers. We have individuals and corporate volunteers. They come into the Roseville warehouse, and it's really fun to see. And they're packing onions and bags of fruits and vegetables and putting them in pallets. We take those trucks out to 10 different pantries to go around these counties. And at the pantries to go, we also have volunteers there. There's big tables, stacks of fruits and vegetables and bags. People pull up in their cars, all kinds of people from all different walks of life. And you never know who they're going to be. And you can't judge them because we don't know their situation. And our volunteers put the food in their trunks, and they are so very grateful, and off they go. So that's how we get our food out to everyone else. And because it is really a matrix of community partners. And because we're Feeding America, we have all these food safety standards and financial transparency and standards for delivery. So we have to, you know, follow the rules.
Wow, that's a lot. Well, I'm so looking forward to hearing about all your relationships. Ryan, why don't we talk a little bit about where, you know, Placer County Health and Human Services fits and CalFresh fits in this whole matrix of, you know, going up against food insecurity in Placer County?
Yeah, thank you, Sean. Thanks for having me. You know, this CalFresh program is California's version of the SNAP program, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, federally. And it's just like it says, it's a supplemental program. It's, you know, the greatest anti-hunger program ever established in the world. I say that very confidently. It's an incredible economic driver for our community. But it is supplemental, right? And so that's where a lot of these organizations that we work with, and we refer folks to all of the different folks we're talking here tonight. We obviously give them a lot of different resources when we work with them on eligibility. We're serving about 17,000 households right now, comprised of about 28,000 people. So, those numbers are really up. You know, our caseload has increased around 90% since the start of the pandemic. You know, we attribute that a lot to inflation. And, you know, all of our partners here tonight with us see that as well. You know, the need just seems to be growing. And, you know, we're doing everything we can to combat hunger and to make sure that people are aware of not only our department and how to receive services, but also of all of these other fantastic organizations that really do help to minimize food insecurity in our county.
Why don't we talk to you, Tammy, and learn a little bit about the Gold Country Food Hub?
Yeah. So we are a local food hub, which basically means we are an aggregator and distributor of locally produced food. So we work with all local farmers in Placer, Nevada, El Dorado, and Yuba counties. And we bring it all together and we distribute to, you know, different organizations and entities through our wholesale market. We share a facility in Auburn with the Farmers Marketplace, who is the aggregating vendor for Feeding the Foothills. And what that means is through a program called Farms Together, we purchase from local farms in our local counties to bring food to the food bank. And they get to, you know, purchase that at a really good price. And it's funded through a program called LFPA. We also sell to local school districts, restaurants. What else? Retail grocery stores. So basically just, you know, supporting local farms. We work with over 100 local farmers and artisan food producers.
That's amazing. I mean, I'm sure it's great for the farmers to have, you know, additional places to bring their produce. And also, I mean, also amazing that, you know, in so many ways to connect the locally grown food with people. Andy, let's talk about what you do. Sounds like you're sort of on the at the end of all these programs and getting food actually to the people, right? Tell me about what Auburn Interfaith Food Closet does.
So Auburn Interfaith Food Closet is based in Auburn, as the name suggests, but we really serve 17 zip codes of Central Placer County, starting at Loomis and reaching east to Immigrant Gap. When the food closet was formed, there was excellent food closet coverage in the bigger suburb areas of Roseville, Rockland, Lincoln, and so they took on really a central area. And I think from discussions I've had with Feeding the Foothills in the past, we now represent probably one of the top three food closets in Placer County. In that 17 zip codes, there's about a quarter of the Placer County population. And last year we touched about 90% of the people who were likely to be food insecure in that area. So we are quite proud of, you know, our outreach and our reach. We do that through four different programs. One of them is people drive up here and get served personally. We have a home delivery program where we actually take trucks out and bring food to people's homes. We have some remote distribution centers where we bring food like the Pantry to Go that the Feeding the Foothills does, and a couple of sites out in the more food desert areas, or more rural. So we're in full Forest Hill, we're in Colfax, and we're in North Auburn, because that area actually gets to be a bit of a difficult area to fully serve.
Well, it sounds like you guys are all keeping busy, fully engaging the challenges we face with food insecurity here in Placer County. And certainly, Andy, I can imagine serving 17 zip codes adjacent to Auburn is probably a lot of territory, you know.
But as you get out further out, it gets more rural. There's fewer choices for buying food, and you know, Auburn is a good hub of grocery stores, but for many of those people, that's 2 or 3 gallons of gas, which if you're looking at your budget for food, you either have to be making another trip through down here and doing it on the same one, or you're adding to the cost to get the food in your house.
From the Roots Up is community radio that is sponsored by community businesses. If you'd like to join the growing list of folks who make this show possible, reach out to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at khi.com. We all know that money spent on politicians is nothing more than a bribe. Citizens United called it free speech, but we know better. But what if we could balance the scale a few bucks at a time? That's what we're doing at the Six Pack, taking small donations and adding them up to make things more fair. Crack open some change. Support the Six Pack. Paid for by the Six Pack, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. www.thesixpack.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
We've been talking around it, right? We've been talking about sort of the services everybody provides and what we're doing. First of all, I have to say that Feeding America and Feeding the Foothills, the data on your site is amazing, and the way you present it, I was really pleased to find how easy it is to look at not just, you know, current data, but data over time. And you have, I think, on the site an interactive map by county, and you can look at any county in the United States, or in California, you can drill into a state. And you can see one thing that I thought was startling is just the growth in number of food insecure folks since 2019. Maybe Laura, you should take this, or Ryan. What do you attribute that to? And what's being done to reverse that? I mean, it's one thing to obviously make sure the immediate need is met, but I think the goal for everybody would be to find a way to reverse that trend, right?
Well, let me just take the Feeding America food maps. First of all, they're not representative of what's happening in our counties. we're looking at food insecurity of 10, 11, 12%, and some pockets up to 40%. Cameron Park, South Lake Tahoe, some parts north of Roseville. 40% of the people are food insecure, and that's very sad. And I'm going to let Ryan talk about what we're doing, but we're doing all we can to get food to them through all of our partners, collaborating, et cetera. We're all taking a major hit if everything goes through like they say they're going to financially. So we're writing strategies, trying to be creative, looking at new partnerships, bringing in corporations, involving people in more ways than we ever have. So we're doing everything we can if it does come to that negative situation that we're looking at. But
Lori, I want to back up just a second because I think it's important for our audience to understand. Let's talk a little bit about what the terminology means. When I say food insecure, that sounds like a fancy, you know, scientific term. But what are these, you know, when we talk about food insecurity, what do we really mean? And what's the terminology? What, you know, let's sort of decode that jargon.
That's a good question. But it's basically they're not going to get enough nutritional value, or they don't know where their next meal is coming from. But they're lacking in nutrition from the food that they get. Maybe they can afford a burger for the family, but that's not good nutrition. That's not for healthy growth, healthy brains of young children. So it's just not enough to thrive.
And you made a good point, too. And here we are in the summer. I know from being on the school board that a lot of the children, the primary place they're getting fed, you know, those children who are food insecure, they really rely on the schools for food. And now it's summertime. So, I mean, I would imagine that when you look at those numbers, they're not just, you're looking at an average over a long period of time, but they probably spike in the summertime, right? Ironically, when more food is even being grown, there's, you know, probably more food insecurity. Is that true?
I'm going to let Ryan take that, but we are reviewing all of our demographics and our numbers right now, because I think we need better analysis than we've had. We've relied on past numbers. And so all of that's under revision. But Ryan, can you answer that?
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Definitely you will see that. And that certainly has been an issue. Luckily, that was addressed a few years ago at the federal legislative level. USDF&S has a program called Sunbucks. And it's actually not administered by the counties. It's administered by the state of California. And thankfully, you know, what this program does is for those kids during those summer months, every qualifying child in your household, if you meet eligibility criteria, of course, will receive $40 per month on an EBT card. And those cards are sent out one time. They don't refill them. There's no eligibility requirements for households. It is done through the Placer County Office of Education and matching those who are on free and reduced school lunches. And it just goes directly to the household. It is administered by CDSS and the California Department of Social Services. And so any questions about that families have, we direct them to their hotline. And so it's a really amazing program that is definitely cutting down on food insecurity for families with school-age children during the summer. We're really happy with that program. We had a lot of success with it last year. It's in its second year. So, you know, it is a very young program, but it's definitely making a difference because you hit it on the head. I mean, it is very challenging. There are summer meal programs through schools, too, and those can be received in concert with Sunbucks. So it really does increase the purchasing power of those households.
And it sounds like from what Lori was saying, Ryan, that, you know, the statistics that we have don't really necessarily tell the full story, because it's not an even, you know, you look at it from up here down to the county level, you're not really seeing the pockets that she was talking about. Right. I mean, so is there a data problem here? Is there a need for more granular data that can be sort of put out in the world that helps then folks who like, Tammy, who are bringing farmers together, or Andy, who are serving those folks with a food closet. Is that one of the needs that's out there?
Yeah. And there's a lot of efforts going on with that, but there are some data gaps here, and there's been efforts in the past to do some geo mapping and really see where those pockets are. You know, it's very surprising. You know, sometimes you will find those pockets of food insecurity in areas you would not expect, like Granite Bay, or, you know, communities that stereotypically you think of affluence, and really what you see is individuals that are in those areas that don't have access. And then there used to be, and we're trying to overcome this, right? I think between all these organizations, you know, we have an outreach arm that we're out there at every community event we can get to. You know, all of our partners here are trying to get themselves out there as much as possible to make sure the public knows. But sometimes there would be an information gap for those individuals that lived in those pockets where it was hard to reach them and it was hard to convince them, you know, no, come see us, come get the help. It's okay. You know, as I mentioned, in one of the misnomers about programs like CalFresh is that it is an economic driver, and it's one of the greatest recycling of tax dollars back into our communities that exists. And it's, you know, for every dollar of SNAP that you bring into a local area, you're increasing the GDP, the economic development in that area, by $1.54. I mean, that's half over again. And that comes from USDA FNS's research arm saying that this is not developed somewhere outside of the agencies that oversee this program. So it's really important to find those communities and get to those community members. And I really appreciate being able to come on here and reach others to let them know about these things that are going on in their community to not be food insecure. You know, one of the things we talk about a lot in this policy area is if you really want people to self-actualize and you want them to achieve, you've got to meet basic needs. And food is the most basic of needs. It is energy. It is the ability to get things done. And that's one of the things we really try to get out there to folks, that this help is available, and don't be afraid to take it. It's okay.
From the Roots Up is brought to you by the Six Pack. Crack open some change and support the candidates and causes we need in these times. Paid for by the Six Pack, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. www.thesixpack.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. If you love live music and want to be up close and personal with the band, there's only one place to go, the Torch Club. This hotspot is the place to be, with two shows a day, Wednesday to Sunday. Check out the upcoming shows at torchclub.net, or just drop by 904 15th Street in Sacramento. The Torch Club. There's always something happening.
Tammy, when you're working with farmers, right? And these farmers, I mean, they probably, you know, they could be selling their produce anywhere. What do the farmers tell you about being involved in really the project of making sure that people in their communities are not just well-fed, but are well-fed with healthy, fresh produce that they themselves grow?
Yeah, our farmers are really committed to growing food for their communities. So it's not about, you know, oh, we're growing food and it's going to another state. I mean, it really is, you know, about a community thing. Most of them have, you know, they do the farmers markets, they have their farm stands on farm. And then now, you know, with this Farms Together program that started, I think, about 2 years ago, you know, that really was dedicated to, you know, sourcing from local farms, getting food to the food bank. So each county has a designated aggregating vendor that buys from local farms for the food bank and getting that food. What it's done for the farmers is it's been able to, you know, help them, you know, build their business for capacity and resiliency, you know, and really building a local and regional food system.
That's amazing. And I mean, if you're going to have farms survive, it's not an easy thing being a farmer from any angle you want to look at it. People I know are in that, do that work. I mean, they are working hard and just, you know, seems like almost always just barely making it by. I had a 30-acre farm adjacent to where I lived in Placerville, started by a young man who altruistically wanted to be a farmer. And I saw how hard that guy worked, and I thought, man, but he loved it, you know, and so it's nice to see that. And he's, you know, by the way, I think he's involved in some, you know, mutual aid and those kinds of things. I wouldn't be surprised to find out that he's involved with you, because that's the kind of person he is. But I just see like there is making that connection between the people who produce food and the people who consume food in the local community has got to be amazing for all involved. So, you know, kudos to you for putting that all together and bringing all these great folks together to make sure that our community gets healthy food. Andy, you must have, I would imagine, given what you said about your mission, you must have like a small army of volunteers who are working hard out there doing it. Tell me a little bit more about all the people and where you find them. You're an interfaith organization, so you must have multiple churches, et cetera, involved. But tell me more about how you bring people together in this mission.
So the organization was started by six churches in Auburn, and they rallied other churches together. And so it started with an interfaith foundation. But in fact, we've moved to a point now where we still recognize churches, and 18 of them are supporting us. But it's across all denominations. Our symbol is a cross and a Star of David with wheat in it. I was informed today that one of the Muslim churches brought food in this week and did a food drive and donated it to us. So it's the true word interfaith. We also are 100% volunteer. Everybody in the organization is volunteering. So a lot of us are gray haired like me, or silver, I guess. And finding ways to give back, you know, as we can in the community. I wanted to go back to the food insecurity for a moment. It's a dynamic situation. Not everybody is food insecure every day of the year. It comes and it goes, and it depends on a lot of things. An example, we allow people to come and receive food every 30 days if they wish. And the people that drive up here represent 85% of the population. On average, they come four times a year. What that means is that there's a lot of months in which they can stretch their budget and put the food on the table, and they don't need to come and get our services. I'm amazed at many of these people, because if they came every month, they could have another more money in their billfold, because they would have gotten about $150 worth of food from us just from that one visit, and they could use that for something else or save it. But that's not their lifestyle. At the same time, somebody who suddenly loses their job or is put in a stressful situation, depending on their upbringing, they may not come to us for months. They may max out their credit cards. They may spend down their things, because walking across the threshold to walk into this place is evidence of defeat. And for many in our culture, needing a handout is looked down upon. You know, so that is one of the things we try very hard to do, is help people as they cross into our building, make them feel welcome, make them feel like it's a good experience, and let them know, you know, we're here for them. Just to put it in round numbers, about 250 volunteers, and last year, 34,000 hours of volunteerism.
Wow. Yeah, I really love that you brought up the fact that it is a dynamic issue, and that there probably are, you know, probably are those barriers in people's minds about actually making that first time, that first stop, even when they really need it. So it's amazing that you've considered that, and how important it is to have a welcoming sort of very, you know, make it as easy as possible for people to cross that threshold the first time, because yeah, I can imagine it's really hard. Well, I'm going to take a minute here just to give each of you an opportunity to tell our audience something that you would want them to know. You have an opportunity, and I could ask you questions all day, and you may end this interview and think, oh my gosh, if I had just been asked the right question, I would have said this thing. So I'll just do it around the horn, and we'll start with you, Lori. What would you want people to know that we haven't talked about yet?
Well, just what happens when people don't get basic nutrition. Aside from the shame that they feel emotionally, which is a huge factor, as Andy highlighted. Without food or nutrition, they skip meals, they buy cheap meals, as I mentioned earlier. Children face stunted growth and development, which hurts us in the future. Children are our hope. And if their brains don't develop or grow, that hurts us. There's poor academic performance. Hungry workers are less productive. Children underperform in school. Healthcare and social safety nets increase. Hospitals and clinics see more emergency room visits, including a 22% increase is typically what they see. And just the complete erosion of society. People are hungry and they give up hope. So I think it's really important that people realize the economic and emotional impact of hungry people in their community, their neighbors, that they have no idea what's going on with them.
That's great. I love hearing that, because I think there are a lot of things. I mean, I think we all know what it means to be hungry, but do we know what it means to be hungry without knowledge of where our next meal is going to come from, or to be hungry for a protracted period of time? That's a very different thing. Ryan, what would you want people to know that we haven't even discussed or scratched the surface of today?
We serve an incredibly diverse population. You know, it really is varied, and the stories, there's a story for everyone. There's a reason they're coming to see us. And as Andy mentioned, sometimes they have to break through their own beliefs, their own stereotypes of what this is. But I just want to say to everyone, don't look at it that way. It is important for our local economy, not just to make sure that people have what they need, but just to make sure that we are doing everything we can to be the best society we can be. And this is a huge part of it. And I would also encourage everybody, we haven't even talked about it yet, but do call 211. If you're out there and you're in need, there are so many services out there for so many different issues you may be facing as an individual or a family.
From the Roots Up is community radio that is sponsored by community businesses. If you'd like to join the growing list of folks who make this show possible, reach out to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at khi.com.
Tammy, what would you like people to know that we haven't talked about at all?
Our farmers work really hard. It is definitely a labor of love. One of the programs I mentioned, the Farms Together program, it is really done through an alliance with the California Association of Food Banks, Community Alliance with Family Farmers, and Fresh Approach. And it so far to date has served, worked with about 598 farms have been supported. This funding is only going to go through for our food banks to be able to continue to use this funding to purchase food through next June. There's a really good website, caff.org, caff.org, and it has information about the federal funding for California farms. And, you know, you can call your elected officials, write a letter. We really need to get this funding reinstated.
There's lots of things I could throw in here. The fact is that the people that live in our community that are suffering hunger are invisible. They're invisible for many reasons. Our home delivery program is taking food to people who are shut in, and they're from in their 30s with disabilities and no transportation or an illness that makes it so they can't drive, to people who've outlived their income in retirement and trying to struggle to stay at home. There's a lot of dynamics that go on in our neighborhoods and in our communities that stigmatize this to the point where people hide what is a real need.
Yeah. And that's a shame, because when you look at, you know, how many people we're talking about, I mean, I think if people sort of knew how many people they know and how are touched by this issue, I think it would destigmatize it a little bit. So appreciate all you're doing. I think it's great work. So I'd like to give each of you an opportunity to talk to our listeners about what they can do in our community. We'll start with Andy, and then we'll work our way back to you, Lori. So go ahead, Andy.
Not anybody that's been involved in charities or churches has heard probably time, talent, and treasure. as a word, watchword. And, helping any one of us boils down to those kinds of things. If you as an individual in the community wants to volunteer at the Food Closet and you can only give us 2 hours a year, I got some programs I could use you for. If you can give me 2 hours a month, I've got some other programs I can use you for. If you want to give me 100 hours a month, I got a program for you too. If you suspect there is someone that you know that might be food insecure, be an advocate for us. Help them get over that threshold of fear and be willing to try us out. Because if they truly are hungry and but are resistant, you may be the person that gets them to make that step.
That's beautiful, Andy. Would you like to share some contact information for our listeners?
Sure. AuburnFoodCloset.org is the website. We had a lot of detail there. We're at 1788 Auburn Ravine Road. If you want to just drop by, we're open 10 to 2 every day of the week. And if I happen to be here, I'll be glad to give you a tour at the drop of a hat.
Awesome. Thank you, Andy. Tammy, how about you? How do you think people can engage this issue from your perspective?
Well, I think knowing that our farmers are the ones boots on the ground, growing food, dedicated, to really growing food to our communities, really supporting our local farmers in any way, at the farmers markets and at their on-farm farm stands or their, CSA boxes that you can subscribe to. This really helps them. And then, the Gold Country Food Hub, we are mostly grant and donor funded. We do take volunteers to help with packing groceries when we do our Healthy Groceries program. Come on by. We're located in Auburn at 195 Elm Avenue. And obviously, you can donate through our website, which is goldcountryfoodhub.org.
Thank you, Tammy. That's great. I think those are all good ways for people to engage. Ryan, what would you say in terms of ways people engage or what people can do?
Well, as you said, Sean, this is a challenging subject. And obviously, we're a non-political entity, but we're definitely tracking things in the state and federal budget right now. Very concerned with some of the proposed cuts at the federal level and the effect that they will have. With that said, I would still just encourage everybody. I don't want that to be a chilling effect. Just please, if you are food insecure or you know people who are food insecure, send them our way. We have offices in Rockland at 1000 Sunset Boulevard, in Auburn at 11434 B Avenue, and up in Carnelian Bay in Lake Tahoe at 5225 North Lake Boulevard. Again, you can call 211. You can call our call center at 1-888-385-5160. But probably the easiest way to apply if you have internet access is to go to benefitscal.com. If you're hungry, if you're facing food insecurity, please come see us.
That's great, Ryan. Thank you. Thank you so much for all those resources. And I know, having had the members of my own family who've availed themselves of resources at times, sometimes it's really hard just to find that first place to go. So I think it's really great that you've provided folks with that easy opportunity. And 211, I mean, what an advancement that is, right? So many different ways you can get help, just the three numbers. So appreciate that reminder. And Lori, why don't you round us out here and tell us how you feel like people could get engaged or what they can do in our community?
Well, in this collision of decreased funding and increased need, it's very easy to be pessimistic with all these people having challenges, et cetera. But I believe in the power of the people, of our neighbors, neighbors helping neighbors, the power of we. Get out there, spread the word. Be aware if a neighbor is sensing there's a problem, offer a casserole, have them open the door, share the need. Rally your friends and neighbors, call your senators, call your elected officials, let them know that it is not okay to have all these people hungry. So at Feeding America and through Feeding the Foothills, $1, we can turn that into 6 meals, and we can do that because of our relationships. So give us a buck, feed 6 people, it is really the power of we. It's our neighbors. We can all help each other. And that's the positive thing, because we all have that fighting spirit and we know we can fight adversity together.
Well, I think that's an amazing place to leave it, Lori. You know, I found the solution and it's us, right? I really do believe that's true. It's why, you know, why I do this radio show and why I bring folks like you on. Lori Rinker from Feeding the Foothills, which is a member of organization of Feeding America. Tammy Riedel from Gold Country Food Hub. Ryan Fruchtenick from Placer County Health and Human Services and CalFresh. Andy Hayes from Auburn Interfaith Food Closet. Thank you so much for being with me here today. I think it's been an amazing conversation, and I hope it'll get out and do some good, solving some of that food insecurity in our community and in others across our state and our nation.
I have to say, I came into today with, I thought, a pretty good level of knowledge about food insecurity and the resources in our community. But I will tell you this, I learned a lot today, and I hope you have as well. As you know, this is the part of the show where we always talk about what we can do to work on these issues together. I'd never want to leave you in a place where you're like, boy, that was rough. I have 50,000 people in my community or have food insecurity, and I just don't know what to do. Never going to leave you there. Always going to leave you with some ideas of what you can do. And of course, our roundtable members each talked about how you could engage with their organizations. But I think it's always good to sort of reiterate food insecurity in your community. The number one thing you can do is donate. And I know we hear this all the time, donate, 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 donate. But if you're going to donate somewhere, this is really an effective way to stretch the dollar that you give. I think we heard, the Feeding the Foothills, Lori, talk about $1 can feed 6 people. $1 because of all the additional donations they get on top of that. So I would say, you know, think about, you know, Feeding America, which is the larger group, or find the chapter of Feeding America in your community, and you know, make sure you consider them when you're considering your charitable contributions. Speak up, advocate. I think there's, you know, the people who are food insecure, it's really, as we learned today, I think it's really a lot for them to overcome their sort of embarrassment of finding themselves in this situation. But you know, we who aren't food insecure need to advocate at the local, state, and federal level that cuts to food programs are not okay, that we want to see money spent to make sure that people are not food insecure in America. We can't simply afford to let people go hungry in our land of more than enough. It's morally correct. And if that's not enough to convince you, it's economically correct. Not one person should have a day where they don't know where their next meal is coming from. Not one. If you cannot give your money, give your time. The organizations that combat food insecurity are largely volunteer-driven. They need people who can give a little time and people who can give a lot of time. Find an organization in your community. Reach out, find out how you can help, and then go do it. And here's one you could do right now. You could literally do this in your own front yard or on the street in front of your apartment complex. Set up your own mutual aid food closet. They're an amazing way for people to share what they have when they have some and take something they need when they don't have enough. Put one on your street, put it in your front yard, don't ask permission, beg forgiveness if anyone raises an issue with it. I know people who do this, and you would think, oh, that who's going to actually come by and take something or leave something? But once it becomes known, these little points of light in a community that require nothing other than somebody walking up unashamedly, taking or leaving something, can make a big difference for somebody who just needs a little more every once in a while and sometimes has a little extra. Mutual aid is the simplest way that we can help each other. And as with many of the issues that we present here on From the Roots Up, it is my sincere wish that we can solve this issue once and for all. But in the meantime, it is up to us to help each other. I hope you'll join me every week as we delve into a topic like this. And I hope you'll engage me in a conversation. If you want to reach out to us, send an email to fromtherootsupshow@gmail.com.
Come down and get straight. It's in our